Ball is back, back, back. It's out of here.
Yeah.
This ball game is over.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going back, back, back into the kitchen to get me a nice cold beer.
Why beer all of a sudden?
My dad always has one after the game.
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 The official.
Review.
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 The official.
Review.
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 The official.
Review.
What's up, gang? It's been a minute. It is the Upon Official Review Podcast back in action. Ready to do our thing like we always do. Thanks for tuning in. As always, it's your boy Magnum alongside my boy Murdoch. Say what's up, Murdoch.
Hey everybody. I hope you're having a good week. Glad you're tuning in. Thank you very much. And hopefully we'll entertain you here. Talking some baseball as always in the summertime.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Summertime is a wonderful time, you know. Baseball being one of the many reasons. But it's good to see the Phils are, you know, meeting expectations, at least for the most part. So before we get into the Phillies, man, let's talk some the recent, you know, it's the midway point of the season, which means the All-Star game.
Yep.
And the All-Star break. Unfortunately, there's no games on at the moment.
Yeah, the All-Star break is like the worst sports couple days of the whole year. Like, you know, Wednesday, the day after the All-Star game, like there was a women's soccer World Cup, which usually that's not even the case. And like, what, the Tour de France? That's it. So it's like, there's nothing, you know. I don't really, you know, soccer, women's soccer, you know, like, it's all right.
Well, here's the thing. I was discussing this with my buddy.
I wasn't like, you know, I didn't save the date or anything, put it that way.
Women's soccer players, though, are decidedly more feminine than women like baseball, like softball players or basketball players. So they're, you know what I mean?
It's not, I think, so. Like, there's definitely some hot like softball players out there.
There's a couple. It's true. But on a whole, I think that
the chick that scored the goal, she was kind of scary looking.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But the goal,
I don't know.
Isn't bad.
The goalie's hot, yeah.
She's got a cool name.
Yeah, she does have a cool name. It's almost like Han Solo.
Exactly. It's like,
I bet you that's what her parents were, like Star Wars fans.
Yeah, they had to be.
Had to have been, yeah. They wanted a boy. They were going
to
name him Han.
Is this cool on the back of your jersey, especially when you're the goalie, because you're the last option. You're just the
last line of defense.
Exactly. Precisely. Anyway. Let's talk All-Star Game, home run.
We digress.
Exactly. We digress. Sidetrack. It was exciting, though. Good for the USA, anyway.
Yeah, whatever. But,
All-Star Game, dude. What are your thoughts on the All-Star Game? I mean, for the most part, both me and you kind of feel like the All-Star Game is it's watered down, and it's getting more and more pointless as the years go by. And this year, specifically, a whole lot of players just decided not to play. I don't want to play. Like, so that dilutes it even further.
And the rule that the pitchers that pitch on Sunday can't pitch. Right. Like the AL didn't have David Price, Justin Verlander, CC Sabathia, like two or three other of like their best, like literally six of their best, like seven or eight starters.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I was wondering why Verlander pitched. I knew that was why Cole Hamels couldn't pitch.
He pitched Sunday. And that's why Cole Hamels couldn't pitch. So it was like one stud for the NL that pitched Sunday, but like every good pitcher for the AL. So weird. And Lester was another one. And there was at least one
for the NL.
What's that?
I mean the other way around for the NL. The NL had all their best pitchers.
Except for Hamels, yeah, and the AL, I don't know if I messed that up, but yeah.
Yeah.
So that gave us obviously a big advantage, I say us, the NL.
Well, they're us for that one night.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew that if we could just get a couple runs early that we would just be able to win it with our pitching, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's true. That rule is dumb. They need to at least,
because Hamels was even saying, like, if you pitch Sunday, you know, the day they throw the bullpen is 2 days later. So it's like that's their day for the bullpen anyway.
Right.
So it's like, why can't they throw an inning? Limit them to one inning if they pitch Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, why not? You got all those people in the game. Why not?
They're going to throw anyway that day.
Yeah.
They're going to throw 40 or 50 pitches anyway. So you might as well throw 20 in the game. What's the big freaking deal?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you can't get anybody out, then take them out. Like, it's no big deal. So that is one thing I mean, you know, home field advantage. Here's the thing. The baseball All-Star game is, honestly, regardless of whether there's home field advantage riding on it or not, it's the best one because it's the only one that's like an actual game. Because uh-huh. And the other three, they don't play any defense.
That's true.
But in the baseball All-Star game, the pitchers get people out, and it's right. an actual game. It's not, you know, 20 to 18. It's not like a mockery and really boring like the other three. To me, the other three are just boring because they just don't play defense, and it's just, you know, that's fun for about a quarter, but not a whole.
Well, the
game,
NBA but. Is
the NBA
fun.
Is the next best one.
It's an, yeah, the NBA is fun because it's, you know, it's highlight film kind of stuff. They get to kind of show
right.
off for three
but,
quarters.
But, I mean, do you really need to watch it for four quarters? Like a half?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. If it's close.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the novelty wears off, and it's like, wow, this is going on for 3 hours.
You're right. You're right. It gets it can get ridiculous.
But the NBA is the next best one. The other two are totally unwatchable to me, football and hockey.
Yeah, football is horrible. Yeah. I don't think I've ever watched
Plus
more than
after the season. So it's just like, who even cares? You
exactly.
know? You can have the football All-Star game in the middle of the season, people getting hurt and stuff like that. But
precisely,
there's just no way that can be good.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl is absolutely useless. It should be, if you know what, make it flag.
Say, hey, they're a Pro Bowler and don't play the game.
Just make it flag football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, or something. Like, change it up somehow to make it, like, something. I don't know. I don't know.
You're right. It's got to be something. But, yeah.
The baseball All-Star game is my favorite because it's an actual game.
Right.
I think it's stupid that the home field advantage. Baseball, you know, it's weird. You hear a lot of people complaining about the unbalanced schedules, and they can't balance the schedule until they have 15 teams in each league and 5 teams in each division. I get that. But, like, they always complain about it. Oh, the schedules aren't the same. You know, the Phillies have to play the Red Sox and the Yankees while, you know, and the Mets have to play the Yankees every single year. And, you know, the Marlins play the Orioles and the, you know, Blue Jays. So it's not fair. You know, it's like, get over it. Football does not have balanced schedules, and they only play 16 games. And nobody bitches and moans about that, right? So there's 162 games. If you have 5 that are harder than someone else in your division – suck it up. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
exactly. Exactly.
You got 157 other games to prove you're a better team. It's like, I don't really give a crap about the unbalanced schedules. It's stupid.
Yeah, you're right. It's dumb.
You know, yeah, okay, if you balance the schedules, fine. That's better, I guess. But, you know, who cares otherwise? The best record should do it. You know what? Well, the AL East, it's not fair because the Yankees have to play against the Red Sox and the Rays, and they may have less wins than the Phillies, but it really was harder for them to get those wins. Tough crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Woohoo, the Yankees. Let's feel real bad for them or the Red Sox. Wah. You know, it's like, I don't care. Like, if the Red Sox or Yankees get screwed because of that, like, big whoop. They get enough, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
One enough, you know what I mean? Like, I really don't care. The over 162 games, you got enough chance to win games and to be the best team in baseball. And if you're not, big whoop. You play one extra game out of 7, if necessary. You know, it's like, if you win in 5, you had home field advantage. Let's not forget in the World Series, because games 3, 4, and 5 are all at the road team's place. So you actually
get
the first 5 games, which the Phillies did in 2008, and they finished it in 5. So they actually played more home games at World Series than the Rays. So it's not that big.
It's true. It's true. So, yeah.
Should be the best record. Well, what's the, you know, that works for every other sport.
Yeah.
Why would, and baseball, the best record is going to be the better team anyway more often because they play 100,000 games. So it's like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, after all those games, you're right. The cream should rise to the top. There's
it will.
Really no
Absolutely.
Point. There's no point in making an
it's
exhibition game.
Either. I
trying
get
to slap meaning onto an exhibition game.
Yeah,
is
get the
just
point where the Yankees have a harder schedule, the Red Sox have a harder schedule. But really, it's better to put it on the All-Star game? Like, that's like a better idea? Come on.
No. Please. Exhibition games should be just that. They're exhibition games.
Exactly.
I mean, you obviously want players to play hard and to actually put effort into it. But the fact that, you know, my season is riding on Brian McCann and, you know, Travis, you know what I mean? Like, that's not fair. I don't want my home field advantage being determined, you know, whether or not.
And then to make matters worse, you have to have one player from each team. So it's a mockery.
Right.
Because
exactly. Yeah.
Player from the Pirates and the
Royals. The Pirates actually aren't that bad this year.
But
you're right.
Usually over the year,
you're right.
It's always been somebody that isn't even close to an All-Star.
Right, it's true.
And, like, it's just ridiculous. You know, And then the coaches have to take the better players out, the starters, and because every player has to play. I remember in 08, they had to take Utley out to put Dan Uggla in just to get everybody in, and Uggla probably makes three errors in an inning, and then in extra innings with a man on third and less than one out, three times strikes out because he's swinging for the fences like a jackass with a guy on third and one out. It's just like, dude, sack fly. You don't need a home run here. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
exactly,
and he's,
yeah.
You know, we lose the game. 15 because the guy's an idiot. Mm. Because they couldn't, you know, you're telling me if that was a real game, Utley wouldn't have played the whole thing? I think so.
Yeah, no, you're right. Exactly, exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
That was at the height of Utley's powers, too.
Yeah.
When he was just
awesome. The height of his powers. Like Superman, like when the sun's at, you know, at high noon or whatever.
Yes. Is he better at noon?
I guess, yeah, he's, like, powered by the sun. I don't remember exactly how
really? I didn't know
really
that
works. But, yeah, it's something like that.
Door card just got revoked.
Dude, I'm a confessed geek. It's yeah. true. It's out there. It's
keep out up there. With you on that one.
Anyway, yeah, I think one of the – actually, go back to All-Star Game memories. That year that they had the tie – how bad was that? Remember when they had, like, no more
yeah.
pitchers left?
And that's when they changed it after that year.
Uh-huh.
So now it counts.
Right. Whatever. It's still terrible. Anyway, let's talk about the Phils, man. Let's talk about the Fightins. You know, it's halfway through the season. And
yeah, typically, about a little over half. 590, around 90 out of 160, so.
Mm-hmm. So let's get some report cards out. You know, let's see where they're at the halfway point of the season. So we'll go ahead and we'll talk each one. We'll give them a grade, and then we'll give them a little bit of discussion about why we gave them that grade. The first one should be easy. I'm going to guess nothing less than an A-. Starting pitching, what do you think? What grade would you give them?
A+.
Give them an A+.
I mean, it could be better. The starters have an ERA of under 2 since
That's right.
June.
The highest – they have the lowest ERA in the league or the second lowest,
the
right?
Lowest starters ERA, yes.
That's right,
absolutely.
Lowest starters ERA.
We have the lowest team ERA also.
Okay.
It's like 3.02 and the Braves have like 3.11 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
We have a chance to be the first team since the 1989 Dodgers to have a team ERA under 3 for the season.
Wow.
So that's 22 years ago. And that's because
that.
Of our starts. The Dodgers in 89 were the last team that did it.
Huh.
To have a team ERA.
Valenzuela and Earl Hershiser.
Was he still on the team in 89? Hershiser was.
Yeah,
I don't know if Valenzuela was. He wasn't the same. I mean, he wasn't like.
He
like
was awesome in that.
Cog early. At the time. He was like early 80. He was mm-hmm. awesome, but yeah. I don't know that he was really that good then.
Yeah.
But
I was wondering who else was on that staff.
Yeah, I don't really know, but they obviously were awesome. They had a 2.95 ERA for the team for the season.
Well,
so.
they beat the A's who were.
Well, that was in
88
ridiculous. That they won the World Series.
Right, that's right.
89, I think the A's beat the Reds or something like that. I don't know. Something happened in 89. A's beat somebody.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Oh, yeah. The Reds won in 90, so the
yeah.
A's won one of the 3 years. They
went
3 years in a row. And then I think so. 89 was the year the A's won, but I don't remember who they beat. But
yeah,
anyway,
Giants,
I think.
Maybe?
I am, huh?
The Giants, I think.
Oh, yeah, that was the Giants, right, because it was
the series of
earthquake.
Earthquake,
yep.
Yeah, yeah. Old school.
Good call.
Old school. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I think A+, for sure. I don't see what else the starters could be doing right now.
Yeah. What's your feeling on Oswalt real quick? You think you put him right back in there or you give
him a chance if he says he's healthy. Boy, a healthy Oswalt would be really nice to see all four of them going at once. That was the dream in the offseason.
Right.
We haven't really gotten to see that because when Oswalt, he was only healthy for about 5 games. He was awesome for those 5 games too, but mm-hmm. And then he decided to run that tractor crap in Mississippi, and he lost like 5 miles an hour off his fastball. It sucked when he came back, and they're all like, "Oh, he's fine. What are you talking about? 5 miles an hour? What? What do you mean?" You know,
yeah, it's true.
He's got clothes on. Sure, he does. Like, okay, you know. But if he's healthy, yeah, you got to try it. I mean, if not, you know, you hope Worley doesn't come back down to earth.
Right. Yeah, he's looked good as of late.
Right. I mean, yeah, he's 2.2 ERA for the season. So, but, I mean, you know, how many times have we seen Kendrick, Happ, you know, first time through the league sometimes?
Right.
Although, neither Kendrick nor Happ had a 2.2 ERA ever. So
that's true.
You know, which, you know, again, neither one of those guys are any good at all. So maybe a little better, but,
well, I mean, Happ, what's Happ doing now in Houston?
What's that? A Haspam too. He's got like a 6 ERA. Yeah.
Really? Ugh. Ugh. That is not. Ugh. I thought he was going to be better than that. Oh, well. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good move.
We sold high on him, so that was good.
Yeah, it's true. Bullpen.
I mean, Oswalt, though, it would be nice if he comes back. They're going to try him if he's healthy. If not, you know,
yeah.
Hope for Wehrle.
Yeah. Bullpen, what do you give them?
I'm going to go A-. They've had a lot of injuries, but
right. Definitely a lot.
Bastardo and Stutz have really saved our bacon.
They really have.
And Bastardo's been, you know, maybe the best reliever in baseball.
Yeah, he's been lights out. He really has been. I mean, we knew he had good stuff, but, I mean, in the season, we talked about how he had, like, the highest percentage of swinging strikes. And
right.
They've kept, you know, kind of moving him along in the bullpen. And now he's even the closer, and he's still...
Just saying that we're on our fourth closer, like, and he's like,
yeah.
The best one of them all.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
You almost would want to put Mattson back in the eighth inning when he comes back.
Yeah, at least right.
Bastardo's been better than Mattson, even.
Really? Has he really?
I think so. I mean, it's a 0.8 ERA. Like, how can you be better than that? I mean, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
8. I mean, I don't know that he can
eight.
Keep it. I mean,
really
I would put Mattson back. I'm only
yeah.
You know, joking
right.
around, but
mm-hmm.
Think about it for a second.
Yeah, that is definitely. So, real quick, then, does that make – because Madsen's probably going to be up for pretty big money in the offseason, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something I guarantee you they're talking about. Like, should we sign Madsen or should we just hope Bastardo and then get a couple setup guys? I mean, you know, that's – Bastardo's going to – you can pay him the minimum for another
exactly,
year.
Exactly, yeah.
Then maybe arbitration. Oh, well, you got him under control for a while.
Saves
so,
money.
It's something to think about.
Because, yeah, you're going to have to compete for Madsen, too. Madsen and other teams are going to go after him.
Oh, he's a Boris client, too. So, yeah, you know he's not.
Yeah, I did not realize that. Yeah.
Discount. Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right, so on to the offense. After the bullpen, let's talk about the offense. What grade would you give them?
C-. They passed, but barely. I can't give them a D because they, you know, really are middle of the pack. It seems worse than that
mm-hmm.
because we're used to them being awesome.
Right.
But their numbers are middle of the road, and they didn't have Utley. Victorino's missed time. You know, Abanez has been a corpse most of the year.
Yeah,
he comes back to life
moments.
Every now and again.
Yeah, exactly.
But dies again really quick. so they're all right. C-.
Yeah. What exactly are their numbers? What are they in, like, team average? Do you know? Top
like,
of your head?
Yeah, middle of the road, like 18th or something like that out of 30 or something like out of all the teams in baseball. Some are in 18, maybe 18 or 19.
Okay.
They're batting 245 or something.
Yeah, it's not so
not great. Great, but there's worse offenses, you know.
Yeah, definitely are.
And let's not forget that offense is down all across the board.
That's true, yeah. I was about to say that. Yeah, the pitching has kind of been... You
right.
know the rule of the land as of late. So yeah, it looks like if the pitching holds up, the offense can continue to be in that middle of the pack and still win. You know.
Right. Right. Absolutely. You know what I always you know because a lot of people say, well, the offense is down because of the steroids, but like the pitchers were on steroids too, like Clemens.
That's true.
Like, why did only the hitters benefit from steroids? Nobody ever talks about that. Like, I always think that's weird. Wouldn't it make the
well,
pitcher
think a higher percentage
pitcher
of...
actually would get a bigger boost from steroids because they get miles per hour on their fastball, right? So,
but you got to figure a higher percentage of hitters than pitchers are juicing, right?
Why? Because pitchers are like more honorable or something.
No, I just you know I would just think a lot of pitchers is not as at least it's not as obvious. Like when pitchers are you're throwing, you know, a lot of times that's more technique, you know, batters.
Yeah, saying, I mean, everybody was on steroids. There were tons of pitchers on it, too.
All right, so top
like
of
if
your head.
If you were a minor league pitcher, would you have done it? Sure, you would have, of course.
Yeah, just,
like, huh, let's see. If I do this, I probably could make the majors and make millions. Okay, I think I will. I would have. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the offense, yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm going to give them a C or a C minus. All right, so what about the defense? What grade you give them?
You know, I guess a B+. I don't think they've been, like, outstanding, but I can't really say anything bad about them either. So solid. Defense has been solid about what I expect. Not better than I expected. You know, Howard makes a couple mistakes here and there. He can't, still can't throw to second. Although he did throw to second a couple weeks ago. I was proud of him for that. And he started a 3-6-1 double play, which was nice. But dropped that ball on Saturday night against Atlanta over his shoulder, which he should have caught.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off. So I'll give him a B minus.
They're actually second in the NL in fielding percentage.
Yeah, but I mean,
tied for second, I guess.
Yeah, fielding percentage though, it's like a, because like if the guy is really slow, like if you have Raul Banez at every position, they might have a high fielding percentage, but they miss a lot of balls that.
That's true. Players, that is also true. Yeah, you're right.
So it's like if Victorino, if you look at Victorino or Banez, Banez may have a high fielding percentage, but who's a better defender?
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean?
That's
so
true.
It's like
that's
that doesn't really tell all. That's why.
Kind of like that save percentage for goalies.
Yeah, or goals against average.
Or goals against, yeah.
Because it's like the team defense could be awesome in front
right.
of them.
Precisely.
Or they're giving up 3-on-1s every other minute.
Right, exactly. But yeah, I mean, Rollins is still doing his thing. Polanco's played well.
Yeah, Brown and Abanya is the only guys that aren't playing good defense. Howard, no, I guess, well, Howard's okay. Howard is.
You know what he can do, and you know what he can't do.
And you know what? He's really good at making diving catches.
He is. Part. Yeah, his defense against the line is actually hasn't been bad at all.
Yeah, it's been very good. So the only people I would say that have actually done a bad job is Brown and Ibanez.
Now, everyone, where do you see the hole in Brown's game?
He just looks really awkward out there and, like, misses balls that, like, or, like, a bloop that should easily be caught. He kind of, like, jogs a couple steps in and lets it bounce like a foot in front of him, like where if he had just ran, he could have caught it. It's like he just doesn't. He's just not polished. That'll come in time. But right now, he just looks awkward as hell out there, I think.
And lastly, coaching. What kind of grade would you give Manuel on the staff?
Well, Manuel, I'm on the record for saying I'm not a fan.
Right.
I think he's been known always as a good hitting coach in his career, but we don't hit. I think he's pretty bad. I think he's actually pretty terrible at handling a pitching staff. He leaves, you know, Cole Hamels had already pitched 7 innings. We had a 10-1 lead on Sunday, and he throws him out there, already thrown over 100 pitches. Like, why? Why is he pitching the 8th inning?
Yeah, there was no reason. Yeah, there's no reason that he's just out there.
In October. It's like so stupid. There's no reason at all that, you know, that kind of stuff just kills me.
Yeah.
Kills me. So I don't think Manuel's good.
Yeah, you're right. It was like 10-1 or 9-1 at that point.
10-1, and he had thrown 102 pitches through 7. You take him out, give him a little extra time to, you know, rest. But no, he pitches the 8th anyway. So it's like, what? He's got a 9-run lead. Are you kidding me? You can't get somebody that is not going to give up 9 runs.
Yeah, you could put Herndon in.
Yeah, exactly. That's when Herndon should be in there.
Exactly.
And, like, the stiffs in the bullpen. Like, come on.
Baez and Herndon. Heck, put Valdez out there just for the heck of it.
Yeah, Valdez could have done it. Yeah, absolutely.
I would like to see that one more time, at least before this.
I would use Valdez in every blowout, just
because. Why not?
Why not? Throws 89, man. He's bringing heat when he comes
man.
In.
Heck yeah.
He'd be a closer. He was the closer that day.
Yeah, he was. That's right. Man. What a great game. We've already had some really good memories this season.
That's the best one to me, though.
That is the best one.
Yeah.
It's definitely the best one. But also, the Cliff Lee homer, though, is up there, dude.
Oh, that was awesome. Shame we lost him.
Yeah, I know, right?
That was just like the Brett Myers at bat against CeCe.
Yeah.
Because every ball and every foul ball he hit, the fans got louder and louder and louder.
Yep.
And, like, you know, like, I was so proud of Philly fans. Because you know what? Dodger fans would not be going crazy over every foul ball because they would be like, why are people cheering? I don't understand.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, but the whole stadium was standing up before he even made a hit. And then he hits a home run.
He hits a home run. Yep. Those are high fast
ones. I got goosebumps watching that.
Yep. Yep.
That was freaking awesome.
Fantastic. I wish we had won that game, but you're right. That was tremendous.
Cliff Lee is such a pimp.
He is. He's so hardcore, dude.
Yep.
So hardcore. I'm so happy that he's on this team again.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be great.
First Cliff Lee game, that was a good memory. We were at that game.
Yeah, that's right. Game 2 of the season. That was fantastic.
To me, those are like the top 3.
Yeah.
But Wilson Valdez, I mean, dude, he's the first position player
since Babe Ruth in 1921 to start a game in the field and earn a win pitching in relief. So anytime you get Wilson Valdez as the first since Babe Ruth to do something, you know it's a good night.
Yeah, we need to do a list of like the top memories over the last few years, like the Bruntlett triple play. Yes. What about some other really good?
What was that guy's name that they did it against? It was Frank Hort. He was like so pissed.
Yeah, that's right.
Face, like, God, are you kidding me? That was awesome.
Yep. Yeah, there's been some really good ones, man.
Bruntlett and Valdez. Who would have thought?
Yeah, exactly.
Both people.
Oh, the Stairs. You know, obviously the Stairs walk off. Or was that a walk off?
No, it was the bottom of the eighth.
Bottom, exactly, yeah, that's right.
Victorino hit a two-run homer to tie it, and then Stairs hit a two-run homer take that lead.
That's right. Yeah, I remember watching that game, though, man, and just being like...
You're thinking of you got it mixed up with the 1 year later, the game four, Rollins.
The Rollins double. Walk-off double, yes.
Both awesome. Both against the same pitcher.
That's right, Broxton.
Broxton, yep. Thank you.
He never wants to see
us. He is a friendly guy. Generous, that Broxton.
He is. Every time you see him, he's gotten fatter, too. I think he's eating stress.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? He's just like eating ice cream, like mumbling, that's stairs. No. No, stairs, no.
It's true.
That's absolutely what he says. Got a tub of Ben and Jerry's about Masters Jimmy Rollins.
He probably doesn't have anything red in his house. Just like, you know, it's banned.
Yeah, it's like a ball. What are you doing? When he sees red, he just charges.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yep. No one's allowed to mention Philadelphia around him. Just starts freaking out. That's right. All right, man. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do what's making Murdoch mad. And then we'll come back. We'll talk a little Flyers, do legal procedure, tweet of the week, and crossfire. Let's get out of here. Sound good, man?
Sounds good.
This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
The last word of Philly sports.
Oh, yes, we are. You better stay tuned.
I think it's safe to say that our luck has officially turned around, guys. We are back, baby. We are back. We're back.
Yeah. Classic.
We are back.
That's
we
right.
are back. We are getting Doug back.
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone can have. And we'll never, ever, 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 ever leave each other. We're the best three friends that anybody could have. I mean, the three best friends that anybody could have.
All right, gang, welcome the heck back. It is the Upon Official Review podcast. Taking names, kicking butt. We've got your name, and you don't know what we're going to do with it. That's why you're scared.
We can do whatever we want, though. So.
Exactly.
This is off.
Exactly. Anyway, guys, thanks for sticking around. Let's get into my favorite segment, your favorite segment, your mom's, your dog's, the president's favorite segment. What's making Murdoch mad?
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Sir, let them know.
This week, the NFL lockout is making me mad. They pretty much screwed the Eagles with this lockout because we could have got a first-round pick for Cobb. We could have worked with Vic to figure out how to not take 78,000 sacks every game. Like, to me, of all the quarterbacks in the NFL, Vic and Reed stood up there as far as, you know, maybe rookies or second year players. But other than that, of any veteran quarterback, certainly stood the most to benefit from a full offseason. No other team had a quarterback they were just going to get a top 10 pick for if they were allowed to trade him. So to me, the Eagles got screwed more than any team in football by this stupid lockout. Which Jeffrey Lurie is one of the owners that, you know, is at fault, in my opinion. So he screwed himself. And then I'm hearing also the Eagles are also pissing me off, sort of hand in hand, because I'm hearing that they don't think that Asamoah is a good fit for the defense.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
This is right.
Like, oh, because he's only the second best cornerback in football, he would be horrible, considering we have, like, one good cornerback and one total dog crap cornerback. It would be a terrible fit for this team. We should just sign a mediocre guy. That's what I'm hearing that they're going to do. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised, because the Eagles never freaking go for it, even though the one time they did, they almost won the Super Bowl, and if McNabb hadn't choked, they would have.
And if he hadn't – I mean, T.O. was playing almost on one leg. If he had been fully healthy – he might have been the MVP with like 220 yards.
Exactly, because he didn't get any touchdowns. And had he had a little more breakaway speed, he would have had like 3 touchdowns.
Yep, that's probably true.
Let's not.
It's the Cowboys' fault, yo. Blame Roy Williams.
Jerry Jones. But yeah, so anyway, the point is, the one year they went for it, they make the Super Bowl. They don't ever go for it other than that. They could have had Julius Peppers last year, which would have been awesome, which would have been getting all the double teams, and Cole would have been getting single teamed. He wouldn't have worn down. We would have had a pass rush in the playoffs, and oh man, this pisses me off. Like, all they had to do was pay him money. It's like they didn't have to give up any picks or anything for him. Just, you know, if they had signed him last year, the Bears made the freaking conference finals when they signed him. You know, and the Bears stunk last year. They should have never been within a sniff of the conference finals.
That's true.
Stinking playoffs. It's a joke. And so Eagles are making me mad. The NFL lockout's making me mad. They better get that damn thing signed and play some football, or else I'll tell you what, I'm going to storm the castle or something.
Storm the gates.
All I got to do is.
I'm with you, dude. I'm totally with you. I tweeted this week that I said I was playing Madden 12. And I won 7 debates with Roger Goodell, because there's no games, there's no season. How are you gonna have a football game when there's no game? There's no games being played, man. It makes me upset too.
Screw Goodell, screw you, owners, screw you, players.
Exactly.
I don't like any of you.
No.
Bunch of greedy as all you are.
It's true. So let's talk a little bit of NHL, man. The Flyers have been trading everyone like baseball.
The Flyers, like, just lost. Like, they're running around like a chicken with its head cut off.
It's true.
Which I would love to see, by the way. Never seen that?
But it's probably on YouTube, dude.
I comment.
Everything else is.
Like, headless chickens darting all over the place. Just that mental image is hilarious. And then you can eat it because it's delicious.
So true.
Yep.
That is so true. Maybe someone should, like, make a restaurant about that, you know.
Like, actually show the chickens running around, like, you know, around between the tables. Yep. Blood go everywhere. I don't know if that would really go.
Not like that, but, like, you know.
I would totally so be there. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, the Flyers have been going bonkers and just trading away the entire team. Exactly. Fuck wild. Leno, Richards, Carter, all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about possibly trading Bobrovsky. So here's my question for you, because, you know, we don't know a whole lot about, you know, who they brought in yet. One of the kids is young. What's his name? Braden Shen. Yeah.
Supposed to be the best player not in the NHL last year.
Right.
I guess the only other one would be maybe Jágr. So we definitely have the best player that wasn't playing in the NHL last year between him and Jágr.
Right. So who are you going to miss the most? Before we talk about Jágr real quick, who are you going to miss the most? Are you going to miss Leno, Richards, or Carter the most?
Leno, definitely not. He's just like a random European that didn't have any personality. So he was good. I'm not saying that. I'm not dogging him. But it's like, did he really like endear himself? I mean, I don't. Not to me. So Carter... you know, 30 goal scorers. He could have done that with his eyes closed. They don't grow on trees, but 2 goal scorers in the playoffs do grow on trees, and that's what he was. So
you can plant those on any time.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, seriously, very you easy just to pluck them like apples. And so, Richards, of those three to me, I remember that goal he scored shorthanded where he, like, bull rushed like 2 guys and like they all went flying a different way and the puck he ended up all alone. Remember that in the open net?
Yeah, man.
That was sweet. Like,
man,
stuff
he was
like
great
that.
Shorthanded. He always
was like had 6 shorthanded goals leading the league or up there.
Yep.
Made the plays, good on faceoffs, kind of a all around kind of a good player.
They should make a trophy for whoever leads the league in shorthanded goals of a guy with just really short arms, like a T-Rex.
That would be fantastic.
Shorthanded player of the year. Little dude. Regular-sized guy with tiny arms.
Well, wouldn't that be short-armed, though?
Short-armed, yeah. You
have to have tiny hands to make it really work. But anyway, the point is, I think the management made him a captain too young, which was a bad move, right. Then got Pronger the next year, and couldn't exactly strip him just because, well, Pronger would be a better captain, but we already gave it to Richard, so we got to leave it on him. I feel like if he wasn't the captain, he'd still be on the team, possibly. Not his fault that they made him the captain too young, and he should not have been the captain. I don't know why they traded him. Honestly, they could have traded Carter to get under the cap as far as that goalie was concerned.
Yep.
And you know what? That goalie better be awesome because, boy, they really banked on him big time. And it's like, you know, Snyder was like, I've had enough of not having a goalie, which we all were. Let's not, you know.
Yes.
I've been bitching about it ever since I was watching. You know, since the mid-90s that they had crappy goalies every year.
Yeah, we talked about this. We ran about it.
Could they have gone too far? Perhaps.
Perhaps.
I don't know. I still rather go – I mean, I'd rather the team be the way it is now than the way it was then because at least hopefully they have a goalie. They had no chance to
win. Have we figured out how to pronounce that guy's last name yet, by the way?
The new goalie?
Yeah, Brzegalov.
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 Brzegalov. Brzegalov. You never know. Sometimes the media gets it wrong early.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody called Lindros at first.
That's right. I remember that.
And then it was like, it took a couple months for people to realize, hey, you know, it's actually not Lindros.
Brzegalov.
So I think it's Brzegalov. But anyway.
Ilya.
I'd rather it be this team than the other team because it sucks watching a team with a, you know, revolving door of goalies.
It's true.
But it was weird watching them just, you know, kind of crazy. It was bizarre, the Flyers.
Exactly. Exactly.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Jágr, what do you think? Jágr in a Flyers uniform, man. That's going to be weird because
him. Really weird. Oh, and whistle at him because of his, you know,
long hair. He had the girl hair. Yeah.
We always get to whistle at him, his rosy cheeks. And,
yep.
You know what would be hilarious is if the Penguins signed Therrien. Therrien always owned Jágr, remember?
Yeah.
It's like Therrien always pissed me off because he never played physically against anybody. And he was like 6'4" and 230 pounds,
huge.
Except against Jágr.
Yeah.
Then he would just totally be a beast. And I was like, why can't you do that all the time, you idiot? And he wouldn't.
You know, he just hit him at Jágr.
Stronger type, not as good, but.
Yeah,
but he just wouldn't play that way except against Jágr. He always
Jágr must have said something to him or something, and just
something about his mama.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. I have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
See what he plays like.
It's just gonna be odd at seeing him in a Flyers uniform, dude. That's like
contract's only 1 year. So
what would be the equivalent like if you in a different sport? Obviously not basketball because we haven't had any rivals in basketball in forever. But like.
If Jose Reyes came to the Phillies?
Yeah, if Jose Reyes came to the – that was you're right. That would probably –
which I actually would love.
Oh, I would love that, too.
Walk get Jose Reyes next year?
Oh, man. Yeah. Jose Reyes is playing out of his mind.
Thinking about it, 250 Jimmy Rollins thinks he's the MVP in 2007 still.
Jose Reyes has a stupid amount of triples right now. Like,
15! He had 15 in the first 80 games on pace for 30. He hasn't been done since the 30s.
That tells you nuts.
Yeah. It's insane what he's doing right now. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's got a good ballpark for triples, but 15 triples in the first half.
That's for the whole year, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, if you look at the numbers, like the modern day, to me, like, you know, post World War II, nobody's got more than like 24. He's on a pace to smoke that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, I would take Jose Reyes. He looks like old Jimmy Rollins anyway, so there you go.
Except. Less better, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's like he's got
354.
Right. He's got the
theory about like 296.
Used to have dreads.
What?
Remember when Rollins used to have dreads?
Oh, that's right. Wow, I forgot about that.
Yep. That's a look that's coming back, I guess, because the player on the Brewers, Weeks or whatever his name, has those too.
Yeah. Anyway. That's right.
So yeah, Flyers making all kinds of changes. You know, and we'll talk about Bob a little bit in Crossfire. But now it is time for the illegal procedure. So let's get into that.
They called us for illegal procedure. Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've
been so wrong.
All right. This week, gang, for the illegal procedure, it goes to none other than everybody's favorite genius in Pittsburgh. Well, there's many of those guys in Pittsburgh, but
Pittsburgh sucks.
James Harrison, again, what are you thinking? I really I have no idea. I mean, the guy is known for causing concussions, but maybe he's just a victim of so many concussions that he doesn't know
or, like, what to maybe speak. He just, like, really loves that Saturday Night Live skit. Like, I'm an angry black man. Remember that one Tim Meadows used to do, like, in the 90s?
Yep.
He saw that and said, yes. That's me for the next 12 years.
Seriously, like,
he's just pissed off.
He's so angry. He really is.
Like, dude, you're a millionaire. Your life is awesome.
Yeah,
what
dude.
You have to be so mad about. Yeah. Chill out.
He is. He is. You know, one day when Pontifus Review is huge, we're going to have a segment after What's Making Murdoch Mad. We're going to do What's Making James Harrison Mad. And
everything is the answer.
Exactly. To making James Harrison mad is probably...
It's not making him mad would be an easier topic to cover.
Exactly. Fish sticks are making me mad this week.
Fish sticks. Imagine being his girlfriend.
Yes.
Honey. Like, oh, what did I do? I'm sorry.
This floor is too cold. Yeah, I seriously, I have no idea how that guy has any friends. For those of you who don't know, there's a magazine article coming out this week in Men's, whatever it is, who cares, some magazine, and James Harrison is interviewed.
Magazine with a man in it.
Exactly, some magazine with a dude on the cover with his shirt off. So... And I think he's on the cover, and he's holding guns because he's like a NRA guy or whatever. Anyway,
shoot.
Like, you want to give that guy guns. Really? Really?
Anyway. Good idea.
Exactly. Let's give the angriest person on the planet multiple, you know, the license to carry weapons.
Of mass murder.
Exactly. Come on. So he's quoted in this magazine taking shots at his teammates,
yep.
Roethlisberger, Mendenhall. Which the Mendenhall ones are completely unfounded.
Not even, yeah, true. I mean, the Roethlisberger one, totally true.
Yeah, but yeah. And then he goes and calls out the owner of the NFL. I mean, it's a good thing that it's a lockout, otherwise he would have gotten fined already. But they can't find him because there's no football. But he says the worst things about the owner of the league, saying, or the commissioner of the league. Yeah, the commissioner of the league, that, you know, if he was on fire, he wouldn't put him out using natural methods. He says he's a devil. Says, I hate him. There's no way I would ever respect him. If he ever handed me the trophy at the Super Bowl, I would whisper in his ear, why don't you do something else, like start a flag football league? Like, the guy just completely sounds off on everybody. He tells Roethlisberger, hand the ball off. You're not Peyton Manning, even though you get paid like him. Like...
This, and like, if I was Roethlisberger, I'd be like, and that's bad? How?
Exactly.
Like, I get paid, you know, more than I should. Yeah, what do you want me to give it back? Don't think so. That's called good, you know?
But, like, I just...
Who doesn't want to get paid more than they're worth? Exactly.
You expect to go into the locker room and get, you know...
He wasn't really thinking ahead or thinking at all.
Yeah, seriously. You're supposed to go and play with these guys, and you want them to have your back, but any chance you get... You're taking shots at the guys. He said the thing he said about Mendenhall was that he was a fumble machine or something to that effect.
Right, and he hadn't even fumbled it that much.
He had one.
And he said Goodell was racist in, like, finding the black guys more than the white guys. Like, you know, Goodell, like, really, I think he's kind of a douche, but I don't know that he's got, like, something against. You know what I mean? Like, I think he has something against
not the
30 players, which is.
Yeah.
You know, who this guy is. He's a dirty player. Of course
not,
you're going to get fined.
Just not,
like, try not, like, trying to injure people, and then maybe you won't get fined. Like, yeah. Maybe instead of, you know, complaining about racism, maybe you should just not be a dirty player.
Yeah.
How about try that?
Seriously. Anyway, James Harrison, dude, you're completely out of line, man. You've got to get it together. You, sir, are the winner of the illegal procedure. Please learn to control your mouth.
Maybe Goodell is racist. I'm not even going to say he's not, but like Harrison deserves every fine he's gotten. So it's like a stupid person to come out and say that, because, you know, racism is not why Harrison's getting fined. It's because he's an idiot. That's why he's getting fined.
Exactly.
He's proven that over and over again.
It's true. It's true. All right. So now that we are through with the illegal procedure, it is time for the tweet of the week. Let's get into it. La, 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 don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La, 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 then you can't tweet me nothing right. Excuse me, did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing. All right, gang. It is time, again, for the tweet of the week. So this week for the
I got to interrupt you right here, actually. Okay. This week, I don't know who you were planning on giving it to, but I actually have to give the tweet of the week to you this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because no way anyone else said anything funnier because, you know, we're more awesome than everyone else. So, I mean, obviously. And this week, my boy Magnum said, Roy Halladay practices hitting the strike zone by throwing Kate Moss through a Cheerio. He's that accurate. So that I died when I saw that, and that's the tweet of the week.
Well, thank you,
executive decision. Give it to you.
I appreciate the nomination. I will accept this award on behalf of the Upon Official Review team. Yes. I do. I thought that was so funny. I thought that one was pretty good. I actually thought that was going to get more retweets, man. That one's pretty awesome.
You never know, though. Sometimes you say
you never know. People sometimes you have exactly
miss it or whatever.
Yeah, or maybe it's just a weird time of day where no one's on, whatever. There were some good ones last night, too, during the ESPYs, man. I said something about Matt Dodge should have kicked the ESPY trophy to Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah.
That one got a bunch of retweets.
As if he would have kicked it to some random person.
Exactly. Exactly, exactly. I also said something about, like, Tom Coughlin told the host of the ESPYs to kick the ESPY trophy out of bounds.
He ran on the field right
exactly.
away.
What are you doing?
Out.
Yeah, man. I know every Giants fan that was watching just turned the channel right when they were talking about that, man. They were like,
yep.
I'm watching this again.
That was so awesome.
Let's go ahead and do some crossfire, man, before we get out of here. A couple more questions that are pressing on everyone's mind, I know. So let's do it. Let's get into some crossfire.
It's the ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. You get caught up in the crossfire. 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 Crossfire.
You'll get caught up. All right,
sir. Number one, Sixers just got sold to a billionaire. Does that give you any hope, any extra hope for the future?
Well, yes, I had absolutely 1% hope for the future.
Yeah, which
the
is
current ownership. Exactly.
A week ago, probably.
Exactly. But yeah, this I have a lot more now. I wouldn't quantify it too much yet, but
gotta see what they do.
Yeah, you gotta see what they do. But the guy apparently loves the team, which is huge. I mean, because Ed Snyder, honestly, could care less. You know, he loves the Flyers, but, you know, he wipes his shoes with the Sixers. So I'm happy to see they have some new ownership. I really hope that they can turn it around. They got to do something, man. This team is just – it's an afterthought, and it's sad because basketball is a great sport, and I love the NBA. So we'll see. Hopefully they can. So on to the next question. It's the NFL lockout, man. It's going on and on and on. It's almost to the point where it's going to bump into the preseason in a couple of weeks here.
Right.
So do you think that at any point the NFL lockout is going to affect how many games we actually get in the regular season?
Nope. And I'll tell you why. What's this? If you had one word to use to say what the lockout is all about, what would you say?
Money.
Yeah. And if they lost games, they're losing money.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think they're going to do that. So my guess, nope. I think they're going to get every last one of those games and every preseason game in, too. I read somewhere that
– preseason, too, huh?
Every week of the preseason, they lose like $250 million. Yeah.
Wow.
Because all the season ticket holders have to buy tickets to those preseason games.
That's right.
Beer and concessions and parking and everything else. So, nope. I think it's going to get done in about a week or two here, and they're going to get everything done. That's what I think.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. The further they push it back, just the it gets as worse and worse. Plus,
yeah, but the whole thing is, like, you know, even if you gain, like, you know, they lose a $9 billion in revenues. Now, who knows what those expenses are? I don't know what the profit is from that, but at least a billion or two, right, if they lost the whole season? So yeah. Even if they had a better deal, the owners, how long would it take them to make $1 billion back? Like 40 years? You know what I mean? Like that extra, the extra $100 million they're getting every year? I mean, 10 years even.
Yeah.
Even if they got an extra $100 million every year. Mm-hmm. So it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. They're not going to miss the games or else they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Idiots. Which I wouldn't be shocked, I guess, if they did that, but the whole thing is being motivated by greed, so you'd think that they once they're faced with the prospect of actually losing money, they're going to say, you know what, we'll take whatever, you know,
yeah,
whatever we could do to just get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's hope so.
All right.
Let's hope so.
So what do you think? Let's go Flyers question now. Do you think the Flyers should trade Bobrovsky? The rumors are right now he might get traded. Is that a good idea?
Well, you know, honestly, I hate to see the kid go. I mean, he had moments. I mean, and he's
right.
Young.
And he's so young, yeah.
Exactly. What is he, 22 or 23?
22, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the other guy is Bragazalov. Exactly. He's like 31. So you right. Love to have your, you know, your next generation of goaltender waiting in the wings, but,
yeah,
you know, he's a hot commodity.
Right. If he helps you win now, I guess you have to do it, right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
Also, Rizgalov is signed to a 9-year deal, so it's like,
yeah.
How long exactly?
Yeah, how long is he gonna play? That?
9 years? Are you kidding me? Like,
no,
really?
He's not playing all 9 years, but that's way too long a deal.
Yeah, seriously.
Come on. But yeah, we'll see. I hate to see him go, but he probably will get traded.
Yeah.
Last question for you, sir. Before we do some shout-outs and bounce out of here. Who do you think is more hated right now in the mind of Philadelphia fans, or in the very least, at least your mind? Who's okay. more hated, the San Francisco baseball Giants or the New York football Giants?
I hate the baseball Giants because, you know, we own the football Giants. We beat them like 5,000 times in a row.
Since the dawn of time.
Yes, they've never beaten us once, ever.
Even a real eagle has taken out a giant.
That's true. You know, David was actually an eagle.
He did throw a slingshot.
True
he
story.
Actually
it was an eagle with a slingshot.
Exactly.
He
had an attack
the
eagle.
The Giants cost the World Series, those bastards, and I hate them, and I hate Cody Ross, and I hate everything about them. I hate Tim Lincecum's crooked teeth. Oh, I hate that team.
He is so unattractive.
So since the Giants have choked against us for like the past 4,000 NFL seasons and haven't beaten us once since 1232, I'm going with the baseball Giants.
I think I'm with you on that, man. I can't look at the Giants at all.
Oh, Cody Ross. Ah,
mm-hmm.
Hate him so much.
I hate him so much. Yeah, his skip. And Lincecum and Matt Cain and Jonathan Sanchez. And like you said, Brian Wilson's entertaining, but
it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah,
if he was on the Phillies, I would love the hell out of him.
That's probably true. But I still hate the guy for what he is for right now. But I think I would have to be with you on that one. The Giants are just kind of, you know, since we've smoked them.
When you kill them all the time, it's hard to hate a team that you
they're
just
kind of funny
totally.
To me because, you know, Eli Manning is so goofy.
Oh yeah, well I don't like them. Let's not get carried away. I just hate the baseball Giants more.
Yeah, I agree. All right, sir. Let's do some shout outs and roll out, man.
Shout out to everybody in the hood. Shout out to everybody smoking that good. Shout out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the thugs.
And you got any for this week?
Sure. I'll give a shout out to our friend on Twitter at Phil's fan 19. That's fan with a PH. Check her out. She's cool. And I'll turn it over to you.
Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to another one of our cooler fans at Carl's sister. That's Carl with a C. It's all one word. Also, Ultimate Philly Sports. Their Twitter is at Alt, Philly Sports, ULT, Philly Sports all spelled out. Also, my boy Matt over at Hell In Back 76, Hell I-N Back 76, a real cool guy. I've actually had a chance to hang out with him a couple times. Also, one of our big fans down in Kentucky, from Jersey, but from down in Kentucky, Alex on the mic, formerly Alex Gervasi. Definitely check her out, follow her.
She's really cool, yeah.
Yes, she is really cool.
And she's got like a radio show and everything, yeah, exactly. so check her out for sure. If you like sports, definitely.
Yeah, and she's a huge Philly fan, so she's always representing. Also, my boy at Rashid Zakat. Me and Rashid been boys for a minute. So it's RASHIDZAKAT. And lastly, my boy Tom at F in Comics, EFFINCOMICS. If you guys like comics and you listen to this podcast pretty soon, I think you should definitely go check out his comic book store. I think he's having a sale right now. So there you go. There you even got a sales shout out in there. But that's it for me. Also, can't forget one of my favorite people at Tweets and Shoes. She's very cool. So that's it for me. You guys be easy. You know, Philly's back on in a couple days, which reminds me, sir, it's something. What do we say about how do we end this show?
We got Cliff Lee.
Ah, that's right. We got Cliff Lee. Yes, and it's home runs.
Oh, yes, he does, son.
Take it easy.
Peace.
No, brakes. Guys, why aren't the brakes working?
Because I cut the brakes. Wild card, bitch.